We live in an age, I think, where very few people read the Old Testament. They might know the stories of the Old Testament, and they learned them in Sabbath school. They remember them from Bible stories from childhood, but not from the Bible itself. There seems among many Christians a great ignorance of the Old Testament, this rather wonderful book that God has given to us. It's a great shame, because to neglect the Old Testament is to neglect the majority of the scriptures. And it was of the Old Testament that Paul was able to write these words. And thou from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Jesus Christ. It was of the Old Testament that Paul spoke and told Timothy. The Old Testament scriptures were able to make him wise, pointing to salvation in Jesus Christ. Because the Old Testament is about Jesus Christ. It is the prediction of his coming. It shows him forth in the sacrifices and in types, that is, pictures of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the Passover lamb being one of them, a picture of our Lord and Savior as the one who dies on behalf of his people that they may live. We neglect much if we neglect the Old Testament. Paul also told the Romans, for whatever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that through patience and comfort of the scriptures we might have hope. He quotes from the book of Numbers, that book that we read earlier from earlier this morning, and he says, now unto these all these things happened unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. So the Old Testament is a great storehouse of knowledge, and it's a great storehouse of examples from which we can learn. Because what happened to the people of the Old Testament happens to us, and we can learn from their characters, we can learn from what they do, we can learn from what they do not do. We can learn how to be a Christian from the life of Abraham. And this morning I want us to look at this man, Hobab, of whom we read in the 29th verse. And Moses said unto Hobab, the son of Reguel, the Midianite, Moses' father-in-law, we are journeying on to the place of which the Lord said, I will give it you. Come thou with us, and we will do thee good. For the Lord has spoken good concerning Israel. Numbers chapter 10 and verse 29. I want us to look at this man Hobab this morning under three headings. First, Hobab was not a member of the people of God. Secondly, Hobab was among the people of God. Thirdly, Hobab was called to join the people of God. The first thing I want us to note this morning is that Hobab was not a member of the people of God. Hobab was not a member of the people of God. We're told in verse 29 of Numbers 10 that Hobab was a Midianite. He was not an Israelite. Though he was a descendant of Abraham, he did not belong to any of the 12 tribes of Israel. The founder of the Midianites was a man called Midian, and he was the son of Abraham. But he was the son of Abraham by Abraham's wife, Keturah, whom he married after the death of Sarah. And Moses sent, Abraham sent his sons by Keturah, and I think at least one other woman, away, so they would not share in the inheritance with Isaac. And so consequently, they were not counted among the people of God. Yes, Hobab was the son of, you'll have to bear with me this morning, I'm not 100% with it, his name's gone, Jethro, he was the son of Jethro, who was Moses' father-in-law. And Jethro was the priest of Midian. He was a priest of the true God. We know that because Abraham received him, and Abraham listened to his teaching in Exodus 18 when he suggested to Moses that he appoint elders. And Moses did indeed appoint elders to help him govern the people of Israel. And so he had grown up in a family in which God was acknowledged as the true God, but they were not part of the formal people of God. They were not part of the people of Israel. 600 years have elapsed since Abraham's death, and this son of Abraham's descendants, Midian, have become a tribe in on their own right, just as Isaac's and Jacob's family had become. Well, then you see, Hobab then is at this point a picture of the non-Christian. The non-Christian who is not a member of the people of God, but yet is someone who knows something of the people of God. And we'll see that in our next point. But the point I want you to take at the present minute is this man, Hobab, is a picture of a non-Christian. He's a picture of a person who does not know God, who is not saved, who does not know the Lord Jesus Christ as his own Lord and personal Savior. Today, in the time of Moses, belonging to the people of God was something physical. It had to do with your physical birth into the nation of Israel. But today, in our age, belonging to the people of God is nothing to do with our physical birth. It's something to do with the spiritual birth. That's why our Lord Jesus said to Nicodemus, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, you must be born again." My friends, men and women today are striving to enter in to the kingdom of God. They're striving to enter the people of God, not by God's appointed way, but by their own. They believe it can be because they've been born in a Christian land, or born to Christian parents. Men and women today think that by doing what they consider as good deeds, they can bribe their way into the kingdom of God and become one of his people. Every so often, you'll hear of an official who has been arrested because they have been receiving bribes. I remember when I worked in the coroner's office, we weren't allowed to take even a calendar from an undertaker in case it was considered something which would corrupt us and incline us to recommend people to one particular undertaker. But I don't think anybody ever come to us and said, "What undertaker shall I use? But the idea that an official could be bribed was taken seriously, and to that extent. But many people think that they can bribe God. They think God is like them. And they think that God can be persuaded to turn a blind eye to his own law, to his own commandments, to the things that he has taught in Scripture, if they will come and they will do good deeds, if they will come to church, if they will do all the things of religion, that God will accept that of them. And that if they continue in these things, then God will set aside everything he says in the Scriptures about the need to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, the need to repent of our sins, if we are to be members of the people of God. They have forgotten the words of the prophet Isaiah, all our righteousness are as filthy rags. Is that you today, non-Christian here? Is that how you are trying to earn your salvation? By your religious acts and your deeds? That somehow you can persuade God that you're good enough to get a place in heaven? Are you hoping to bribe him? When you come and when you give in to the offering at the end of the service, are you hoping to bribe God? He will forget his law and forget his word. Do you do good? Not because you want to do good. Not because it is good. And you have a love of righteousness. But because it's respectable. Because of what other people may think about you. If you don't do these things, do you do them in the hope that at the time of the judgment that your good deeds will outweigh your bad deeds and you will be admitted into heaven? Is that what you hope to clothe your soul with when you die? And you stand before God to be judged. That you will stand in resplendent good deeds. And that God will see them. And will let you in. Do you know what the Bible says your good deeds are like? It says they are like filthy rags. They are like blood-stained bandages, full of pus and dirt and filth. They are bandages that are filled and stained with that which brings sickness and illness and disease. That's how God sees you and your good deeds. I'm old enough, and I'm sure some of you are old enough, to remember the punk era. And what used to be remarkable was there were certain people, usually young girls, who were punks, and what they wore from a dress was a bin liner with a couple of holes, a cut for arms, and a hole cut for the head to go through. And believe me, bin liner is not a good look. But believe me, that they were dressed in much greater finery than you are. When you try to stand before God dressed in your own good deeds. Because there's no good deed that you do. All of your deeds, they are stained with sin. Sin corrupts and mars everything it touches. It is the great destroyer. It is the great polluter. Everything we do by it is stained. No wonder Paul said, those who are in the flesh cannot please God, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. No, my friends, there's nothing you can do to earn your own salvation. It is, as each of us can say with David this morning, "Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me." We are sinners from the moment of our conception, from the moment that our lives begin, we are sinners before God. You hear people talk about an innocent child. The Bible knows nothing of an innocent child. The Bible knows nothing of an innocent baby. From the moment that our life began, we have been sinners in the eyes of God, stained with the sin of Adam, our father. And we do the works of our father, Adam. We do. You never have to teach a child to do wrong. Everybody who believes the little newborn child is an angel will soon find out that he reflects the nature of a demon. And they will spend their time telling him, "No, don't do that." You have to teach a child to do that which is good. You do not have to teach a child to do that which is wrong. Why is that? It's because we are sinners by nature. And that nature reveals itself as soon as the child begins to grow and take its own steps in the world as an independent person. Each of us are sinners, excluded from the people of God by our sins. We need to repent and we need to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ alone for salvation. Have you done that, my friends? Have you trusted in Christ? If not, then like Hobab of old, you are not a member of the people of God. But there's one thing I can say about you safely this morning, is that you are among the people of God. And so the second thing I want us to note is that Hobab was among the people of God. Hobab was among the people of God. Hobab had come along with his father, Reuel, or as he's called here in the Authorized Version, Raguel, or Jethro, he's better known as. Many of the characters in the Bible have more than one name, and we know them especially by one of those names, and Jethro's particularly known by his name, and that he's known in Exodus 18, I think it's because it's probably a passage which is read more often than this one is. He comes along with Jethro to see Moses. Moses had married Jethro's daughter, Zipporah, and now they come to meet him as he is at Mount Sinai. And they come to Moses as members of his family, father-in-law and brother-in-law. Now, in the midst of the camp, Sinai, they are among the people of God. Non-Christian this morning, that is your position. I knew that because you are at church this morning. You are here among the people of God. Maybe you come Sabbath by Sabbath to church. You join in with the people of God in public worship. You sing along with the psalms. You stand and you listen to the prayers. But you know in your heart of hearts, you are not one of them. But you're not a member of the people of God. You know that you've never been converted. You've never put your faith in Christ. You're among the people of God, but you've never come to the Lord Jesus Christ. You're still a stranger to grace. You're still a stranger to salvation. My friends, we have seen already that you cannot put your trust in your deeds. You cannot put your trust in that you come to church, you give to church. You need to put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe I'm speaking to the young people in particular now. You come to church because your family comes to church. That's the only reason you're here. If it was up to you, you'd be at home, you'd be in your bed, or maybe you'd be up and playing on your PlayStation 3 or whatever it is these days, or the internet. You'd be chatting to your friends on the phone. And the only reason you are here is your parents have brought you here. And I'm telling you this morning, you have a great privilege to have Christian parents. And you have a great privilege to be here in this place this morning. And to hear the word of God. You're among the people of God. You're like Hobab. It's family connections that have brought you here this morning. But you don't believe. You've never trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ. My friends, it is a great privilege to be among the people of God. But you must become one of the people of God. How do you do that? You become by responding to the gracious invitation of our Lord Jesus Christ when he said, "Come to me, all ye who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." For again, my friend, like Hobab of old, you are called and given the opportunity to join the people of God. And the third thing I want us to note this morning is Hobab was called to join the people of God. Hobab was called to join the people of God. Moses asked Hobab to join. We see this at the end of verse 29. "We are journeying unto the place of which the Lord has said, I will give it you. Come thou with us, and we will do thee good. For the Lord has spoken good concerning Israel." And he has. He's spoken good concerning Israel, his people. Not only in the Old Testament, but in the New Testament as well. He has done good to us because he has forgiven us our sins. He has taken away from us his judgment. Has brought us into his family. Has sat us at his table. Has fed us from the good things of the Word of God, the good things of the sacraments of baptism and the Lord's Supper. He has given us the privilege of being able to live our Christian lives with other Christians, guided by the eldership and the ministers. He has done these wonderful things for us now, and he has promised us that when we die, we shall go to be with him. And on the last day, we shall be raised, united again, body and soul, and brought into a new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. These are some of the good things that God has done for us and that God has promised for us. And this morning I'm saying to you, come to the Lord Jesus and join the people of God. Enter into the kingdom of God. You see, Moses asked Hobab to join because he knew he needed the expertise that Hobab could give him as a scout in the wilderness. He says to him, verse 31, "Leave us not, I pray thee, for as much as thou knowest how we are to encamp in the wilderness, and thou mayest be to us instead of eyes." Moses asked Hobab to join because Moses needed him. The Lord Jesus calls us to join because we need him. He doesn't need you. God doesn't need anyone. He can bring his purposes to pass through anyone he wishes. That was the truth that Mordecai impressed upon Esther. And when the news came out that a plan was afoot to kill all the Jews within the Persian Empire, and Mordecai asked her to go to the king, because Esther was by this time the queen. And she says, "But I cannot go to him. I've not been called." And you know that if you go into the king's presence without being called, even if you are the queen, you will be put to death. And what does Mordecai say? "Well, okay, I'll go one thing." He says, "No." But Mordecai turns around and says, "Know this. God can deliver the people of Israel. And he will call someone else to deliver the people of Israel. But maybe he has made you queen so that you can be used to deliver our people." The Lord Jesus Christ doesn't need you. The Lord Jesus Christ called you because you need him. Called you in his love to believe in him to the saving of your souls. And this morning, as I preach to you, the Lord Jesus Christ is calling you to follow him. He's calling for you to leave your sins. He's calling for you to believe in him and to put your trust in him. That's why he said he came to give his life a ransom for many. He came to die upon the cross for his people. He came to bear their sins. He came to bear the wrath of God upon the sins of the people of God. Today, my friend, you may have heard the call of the Lord Jesus and you may have rejected it. But today, the call comes again. The call to join the people of God. The call to follow Christ. Again, he is saying to you, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. My friends, you have heard this gracious call many times. And yet, how many of those times have you rejected it? How many of those times have you turned away and you have said, no, I will not go with Jesus Christ. I will not follow him. I will not walk in his ways. You reject it. You still live in your own sinful ways. You would rather have your sins than Christ. You would be rather excluded from the people of God than included in the people of God. You would rather have Satan than Christ. You would rather have hell than heaven. Time and time again, the call of Christ has come. And time again, you have been like this man, Hobab, and you have refused the gracious call of God. We see this in verse 30, and it says, "But he said unto him, I will not go, but I will depart to mine own land, to my kindred." He says no. But yet, if we were to read the book of Judges this morning, we read of his descendants. It seems this man, Hobab, changed his mind and altered his answer. And answered the call of Moses to join the people of God. My friends, today one greater than Moses called you. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. To follow him and to join with the people of God. And to enjoy the great blessings that God will give to Israel. Time and time again you said no. But this morning I want you to be like Hobab. I want you to change your mind. And I want you to go with Christ. Isn't it great that God does not cast us aside? But the day will come when you will say no for the final time. God will, as it were, wash his hands of you and will say to you, your will be done. And will assign you a place in the pits of hell. And when you die and you stand before him, you will not know him as your redeemer. You will know him as your judge and your sentencer. You will know him as the one who condemns you. Come, my friend, to the Lord Jesus Christ. Repent of your sins. Acknowledge your guilt. Acknowledge you cannot save yourselves, that you need the Lord Jesus Christ to save you. Come and trust in him and his work upon the cross alone for your salvation. Come and acknowledge to him that all your righteousness are as filthy rags, that you cannot earn your salvation by anything you do, that you are hopeless and that you are helpless. And unless he delivers you, that you will die. Unless he saves you, that but you will be lost. My friends, the day of grace is still here. But one day our Lord Jesus will come again. And the way our society and world is going, I believe the Lord Jesus Christ's coming is drawing ever near. The time is coming when into the midst of the playground of this world, God will shout, "Be still and know that I am God." When he will bring the hubbub of men to an end, and he will bring the day of judgment to pass. My friends, on that day will we stand, a member of the people of God, among the sheep? Or will we stand as those who are not the people of God and stand among the goats? May God grant us that our end will be like Hobab's, that we go forward as members of the people of God, born again by the grace of God, and finally to enter into the promised land of heaven for all eternity. Let us heed the call, and let us follow our Master, our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Let us pray.